It's a trying time that challenges all of our basic assumptions. However, one thing that brings us all together is our common humanity. Now more than ever, teams must come together and work together to solve big challenges. And Trello is here to help. Trello, part of Atlassian's collaborative suite, is an app with an easy-to-understand visual format plus tons of features that make working with your team functional and just plain fun. Teams of all shapes and sizes and companies like Google, Fender, and even Costco all use Trello to collaborate and get work done. With Trello, you can work with your team wherever you are, whether it's at home or in an office. No matter what device you're using, computer, tablet, or phone, Trello syncs across all of them, so you can stay up to date on all the things your team cares about. Keep your workflow going from wherever you are with Trello. Try Trello for free and learn more at Trello.com. That's Trello.com. Trello.com.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Well, Megan, today is Thursday. And that means something very special.
Real recording.
Real Housewives of New York City is back.
Yes. Tonight is the premiere. Season 12.
Season 12. Can you believe 12 seasons of these just wonderful, wonderful women?
I mean, it feels like just a couple of years ago, I was sitting down for the premiere of Real Housewives of New York City.
I mean, look how far we've come. Guys, let us know what you think about the new season. We have a new housewife. I think Megan and I have made our predictions, our assumptions on who we love, aka Leah. But we want to hear from you guys because obviously the way our rollout schedule is for the podcast, we'll be kind of a little bit of a week behind on our recaps of Roni. So definitely let us know what you think about the episodes after you watch them.
And just because we're not talking about the premiere today, we're still going to talk about it next week.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
Well, we have Vanderpump Rules because Jax turned 40, believe it or not. We have Summer House, which there's been a little bit of drama there that we want to discuss. And we're going to do a recap of Family Karma because it's a show we're both obsessed with and we want to share it with you guys.
And then we have interviews with Margaret Josephs from Real Housewives of New Jersey and Tanya Sam from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Plus, we'll end with Rose and Thorne. And you guys probably are aware at this point, but Watch What Happens Live has returned. Andy has been going live from quarantine, talking with some of your favorite Bravo celebrities. He's doing much better. Watch What Happens Live was kind of on hiatus for a little bit, but it's back and we're so grateful.
Yeah. Vanderpump Rules.
Let's do it.
I think this is a good time to point out where Bethany Frankel has gotten it right.
Okay.
And that has to do with the wine night that Katie Maloney Schwartz decided to put on. She invited everyone but Kristen. And it's weird because it's like Raquel had to ask if they had their Witches of WeHo wine once she got there. Now, had this been a Bethany Frankel situation, banners galore, bottles as far as the eye can see, it would have been clear that Witches of WeHo had thrown up all over the room.
It's never going to get you to the point where you are Bethany Frankel, because she's done nothing but hustle from the very beginning, from the moment that we met her. And there was just really no business mindset going into this event where, yeah, sure, it was just a wine night where literally every girl was invited except for Kristen, which
is a partner in this wine.
She is a Witch of WeHo, so she probably should have been there. But yeah, I mean, missed opportunity. Stassi was like turning the bottle around. Oh yeah, we have it over here. I also really appreciated the string cheese and then the shade that came where everyone was like, no one is above string cheese. I think Ariana said it to Stassi. It was like, nobody is above string cheese here. Let's just be real, okay?
Hey,
expensive
there's nothing wrong with string cheese.
You are not better than string cheese.
I bought those.
Wine Night took a bit of a turn at a certain point as well.
With Lala.
Yes.
What the F? Sometimes Lala, I love her so much. Like, how can you feel good going after Raquel?
Listen, there's something about Lala's ego. And you're going to find this comparison very interesting because I know you love him, but like Kanye's ego and how big it got, and then sort of the way he attacked Taylor Swift at that award show. You know what I mean? Like this ongoing feud that they've had. This was sort of similar in Lala going after someone like Raquel, who maybe was undeserving of that aggression, but also for Lala to just go off on her. And then the comment she made about like, I'm a Michael Vick fighting dog.
Like, oh, I was not okay with that.
I mean, 1 minute Lala's out here volunteering at Vanderpump Dogs, and the next minute she's comparing herself to a fighting dog that's, number one, illegal. Number two, immoral.
No, I'm a pit bull bitch. I'm a Michael Vick fighting dog.
Like, why, Raquel? And I did think it was kind of interesting, and I would love your take on this too, is when Charlie, in her interview, was like, for me, it's pretty obvious that, like, maybe someone still has feelings for James. What do you think?
That Lala does?
Yeah, which I had never even considered that perspective because I feel like we're so far away from that, any remote kind of relationship between Lala and James. But I was sort of like, it was interesting to hear Charlie's perspective because she is sort of a third party, kind of doesn't really have any skin in the game. So maybe her perspective is kind of valid in a sense.
I just don't think it's that, but I also couldn't put my finger on why Lala does get so upset.
I don't know, but I really appreciated Raquel's line. If we don't all agree that she's a bully, we all agree she's a bitch. That is a reality TV show interview moment, like quote that I think will stand up in the test of time.
So should we talk about Jax's birthday?
Yes, because I need to clear up a few things and get your perspective on a few things about that as well.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
So I guess we learn that Jax has a foot fetish.
Okay, so this is where I'm going to need to remind you once again, you need to start the series from the beginning, Eric.
That's true.
Because I know you started late. Yes, this is a well-documented fact. Jax loves feet.
Jax, he likes dirty, filthy, stinky feet.
He has said that he likes when a woman goes out walking all day and comes back and he can put her toes in his mouth.
Wow. Is that also something that just makes you love him even more? Because we know that you
No.
Okay, fair. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I really don't even like people touching my feet. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Okay, so that's where you and Jax differ. Okay, that's fair. Well, the other thing that needs to be cleared up is why did he throw so much shade about Tom's extra-themed party, but then come to his own party dressed up?
I think it just goes to the point of Jax only wants to do what he wants to do, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I'm going to argue 80s is like the worst thing you could do. It's tired. We've seen it. It's no one looks great, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely the one decade that, you know, when you're talking to someone and they're like, oh my God, if you could come back in any decade, like what would it be? And people are always like, 60s, 70s, like disco, hippie era, even 90s. Like the 90s, obviously for us, we grew up in that time. So we have like a very strong affinity for it. 80s is the one that I think nobody collectively is like,
no.
I would love to go back to the 80s.
Maybe I would love to be a hedge fund manager in the 80s. Just Quaaludes galore.
Right, like the birth of like the yuppies where it was just I could sort of see that. So maybe like late 80s, like getting into the 90s would be okay.
Yes.
Well, the rest of Jax's birthday, we have the staged arrest of Tom Sandoval, which I have a lot of thoughts on. So what did you think?
Well, so we have to, you know, remember that this was in retaliation for the TPing. Which, did you ever TP people's houses?
I don't think I ever did that. I did used to play some pranks in high school, I will admit. Like, I used to take for sale signs from one person's yard and put them in someone else's. Like, I did my fair share of prank calling, which you know, but we used to just, like, scat at people. We, you know, like, it wasn't anything really that horrible. But TPing was always, I think even as a young person, I felt it was wasteful.
I definitely TP'd people's houses.
I did very much appreciate Sandoval's commitment to the prank, to the point where he TP'd his own yard to be like,
right.
They got me too.
Smart.
Like that. If you're going to follow through. And Sandoval, I think, set a good example on how to execute a proper prank.
So because that happened, Randall decided to take it upon himself to help Jax get payback. And he hired people impersonating police officers and placed them under arrest. And the only people that knew this was happening were Lala, Randall, and Jax, right?
Was Jax in on it? I can't remember.
Yeah, Jax knew.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Randall told him. Okay.
So it went off, like, without a hitch, like, perfectly executed. But then after Rand, you know, uncovered that, oh, it was me, it's just a joke, that's kind of when things went a little left. Now, I didn't personally have an issue with the prank because I love a good prank, but I also didn't have an issue with Katie's reaction to it because her point was like, I think that's too far. Like, I don't think that's funny. Like, there's too much happening in the news, like with arrests and stuff. But she wasn't over the top about it. I didn't feel like she was making it about her. She was just kind of talking to Ariana about it.
I agree. And I think she made a really good point. And the same with Ariana saying that, you know, with something like police, authorities, that sort of stuff, you don't know what everyone's association with that is or what, you know, people may have experienced. And to Katie's point of the news, there is a lot that's happened over the years. Maybe in that moment, it was a little insensitive. And just to think of, like, if there had been a person of color at the party, or if Tom had been a person of color, like, would that prank have read the same way? Probably not. And I think that's sort of what Katie was trying to touch on. So I understand that.
Yeah. I think the only person whose reaction was out of line was Schwartz's.
Oh my God. He's so overreacted to a point where I was like, why is he so triggered by this?
Exactly. Why was he so pissed? Obviously he was inebriated. I mean, just going in on Katie, this is why I don't have sex with her. I've never been less attracted to her. To the point that Bo was uncomfortable and was like, I can't stand by and watch you go in on your wife like this. That's not okay.
It's his wife. I mean, he's married to her. But they also showed the flashback of last season when he told her he hated the sound of her voice.
All I need you to do is just listen to me sometimes.
Problem is, I don't like the sound of your voice. It's like a cacophony.
There are times when they fight where Tom turns really ugly and just goes for the jugular. And you're just like, damn, like, what is it? What is that underlying anger? Where is it coming from?
Yeah. No, this was definitely a moment where it's like you saw things from her perspective. We always hear about how she rage texts him, how she says these mean things. But it was like, we got a peek at his dark side, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it made me really uncomfortable. And I felt really, really bad for Katie in that moment because I totally understood where she was coming from.
It's also just embarrassing to have everyone hear your husband talk to you like that.
One last thing about Vanderpump Rules is that I can officially say that I am over Brett, given this YouTube channel. My subscribers need this. He basically spoke for Shayna the whole time that she was sitting there with him on the couch and just called her middle age, said that she had been around the block, like just completely dominated the situation. And I just was like, dude, I don't know who you think you are, but you got to take a moment to step back. And like, I feel like Lala should have been telling him to remember his place in a situation, not Raquel's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know I'm Team Shayna, and I just will defend her always. So I got the chance to interview Real Housewives of New Jersey's Margaret Josephs. And in the interview, she gives us tips for couples that are currently quarantined together. She reveals something that may shock you about her friend Dorinda Medley. And she shares some updates on her friendship with Teresa Giudice after that reunion. Plus, Margaret tells us her favorite quarantine recipe, which sounds incredible. Here's that interview. So, ladies and gentlemen, we wanted to bring you some phone interviews because everyone is posted up in their houses. Everyone is missing chatting with each other. So we have Margaret Josephs from Real Housewives of New Jersey on the line. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
But, you know, cuddled up in my house, locked down in New Jersey, the hub of the virus, because I live right next door to Teaneck, which has the highest incidence. So.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, we are in the thick of it. So I want to go and just like make sure that everyone's doing okay. So how are you and Joe doing? What's going on with Joe?
Joe and I are actually doing amazing because we like to be together and we have the same interests, eating, incessant eating. So we get up in the morning, we have breakfast, we plan our food. This is actually, it's not horrible being quarantined with Joe, to be honest. He's wallpapered our entire ballroom. He's done a lot of great projects. So we're getting things done. So we're here. We get to spend time with Marge Sr. She's not staying with us, but she lives down the street. So she comes over during the day and hangs out and then goes home to her cats.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You know, how is she doing?
She's doing fine. I mean, she doesn't like to be home all day by herself. And, you know, she lives next door to Lexi. So we're quarantined kind of and only on lockdown with our immediate crew. We see only, even though we're supposed to be social distancing from everybody, we were all together and only have seen each other. So it's, we only see Lexi and Marge Sr., myself and Joe and Marlene.
Right. Okay. Well, I needed to know how Marlene was doing. So is she like quarantined with you guys or is she lives close?
No, she's not quarantined with us, but I do Uber her over here with a face mask on because she does live alone and she doesn't like being by herself all the time. And so she comes over and we stick a little face mask on her and I put her in a car service and she, you know, she lives 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
So she'll come over and be with us.
I feel like she must be such a great energy to be around at this time because it's so easy to like fall into the despair and be like, what are we going to do? But she is just so comical that I can imagine she just like brightens up every single day.
Oh, she's absolutely hysterical. She's cleaning, doing laundry, asking us how many times a day we have sex. She's so funny. We'll walk the dog together. My neighborhood is, you know, very, very quiet. And then we just like go around the block and walk the dog. We absolutely don't see anybody. Marge Sr.'s having a breakdown that Starbucks isn't open. But I literally have never have cooked so much in my entire life. It's so
right.
funny. But the redeeming thing is I'm not putting on makeup. My skin looks great. I'm sleeping a lot. And, you know, we're trying to make the best of it. And that's all you can really do. What else are you going to do at this point? I'm checking in with the girls, FaceTiming with some of the babes, and that's it.
Of course. So you had sent in a video. Watch What Happens Live has been collecting, like, videos of everyone and what they've been doing in quarantine. You mentioned that you and Joe are having a lot of morning sex. So what would you recommend? So many couples, myself included, are, you know, stuck in the house with their significant other with nowhere else to go. So what are your tips for being stuck at home together for couples?
I think you have to have sex every day. I mean, is this not the most perfect time to be having sex? You're stuck home, reconnect. I make Joe give me a massage every day with oil. I'm telling you, I'm like, Joe, this is the perfect time. Give me a massage. We're doing like mud masks together. It's the perfect time to reconnect. You let him pick a movie one day. I pick a movie one day. We cook together. He's cocktailing. I'm mocktailing. It's really a good time. I mean, even if couples are having problems, I say it's a great therapeutic time. I think people are going to be having babies.
Oh, for
sure. I actually think it's a really good time to reconnect with everybody. I think everyone's going to come out a lot happier if people handle it right.
Yeah.
Everyone should be in a panic. I think staying home is not the worst thing. I really don't. I think, you know, after a month, you know, ask me. But right now, I think it's not the worst.
No, I agree. I think there is something about this that is bringing people a little bit closer together. I mean, I've been setting up a lot of like virtual happy hours with my friends. We did like a virtual brunch yesterday, you know, just making sure that everyone is checking in and staying connected. And, you know, like you said about cooking too, I've been doing so much more cooking than I normally do. I mean, living in the city, we're so used to takeout or restaurants or whatever. So I'm doing a lot more of that myself. So what are some things that you have been cooking, and can you share any like secret recipes of things you've been making?
Yes, I happen to be the risotto queen, and people don't realize that, because since, you know, my kitchen is not new, when we were about to put in a new kitchen, and that's on hold till, you know, people are allowed back in the house, I haven't cooked it, but risotto is my big thing. So I made a beautiful risotto the other day. I actually put it on Instagram, and it was with sweet sausage, cherry tomatoes, and peas. And people don't realize, you have to like stir risotto for like an hour. It's the stirring when the little grains rub together that make it creamy. But,
right.
You know, 4 cups of risotto takes like 14 cups of liquid.
Right.
And it's 14 cups of chicken broth, believe it or not.
Oh,
so
my
you're
God.
Stirring, stirring, stirring. I did the sweet sausage, the peas, tons of Parmesan cheese. I mean, I don't make anything that's not fattening. Don't come to the Marge for healthy eating.
Right.
Come to the Marge for decadent eating. I'm going to come out of here like a fat little pork chop, but that's okay.
I know. I mean, it's funny because so many people are also like posting about their home workout videos that everyone is doing. And I'm like, I am not doing those.
No, I want to enjoy and snuggle in. I mean, it's not like, you know, I'll take my walks around the block with my dog, but I want to enjoy my meals and I'm cooking. But I will say I'm also doing some pickup at restaurants because I want to support my local restaurant.
Right. Yeah. I've been trying to do that too.
It is small business. Yeah.
We still
have to do that. Even though, you know, I'm cooking, I still want to support my local restaurants because that's important. Because this is tough for them. They're used to the Marge showing up and eating there too. So.
Right. So you mentioned that you and Joe take turns picking movies to watch. So what have you guys been watching lately, like movies wise and like TV?
Okay. Two things. We binge watched The Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Al Pacino, or Hunter, on Amazon Prime, which was unfreaking believable. I'm watching Atlanta Housewives.
Of course.
Which was great. I was watching it. That's like a little, they scare me. They're much scarier than us on Jersey. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. After this season, we were pretty scary ourselves. Last night we watched Bombshell.
Oh, yeah.
Which was great. And then Joe was like, could not recognize Charlize Theron. So then we had to watch a YouTube video, how they transformed her into Megyn Kelly.
Oh, my God.
So we're really catching up on our shows. He wants to watch 1917, so we're probably watching that tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So we're binge-watching, you know, Hunter. That was pretty intense. So we're really catching up on stuff, so I'm happy about it. I watched Parasite also.
Okay.
Which was magnificent.
Okay. Yeah, so you guys have been getting some work done around there, okay?
Yeah, I mean, the guy wallpapered an entire ballroom. I mean, it's like sick. If you guys... When this comes out, you're not going to believe it. It's magnificent.
So the other renovations that were happening, obviously, those are on hold. But what are you having done to the house other than what Joe's been doing with the wallpaper? What are the other renovations that are on hold right now?
Which will be coming up, and God willing, you know, we'll be working on it and the world will get to see it. But eventually the kitchen's being done. We're working with the kitchen's going to be getting done. The whole house is really getting worked on. But unfortunately, you know, we had a little stop work order in New Jersey. I can't be having other contractors in the house right now. But we've done a lot of work on that big ballroom. The floors have been done. That big fireplace wall has been refinished. Joe put up the wallpaper. We've had lighting put in. My office has been ripped out. So a lot's been done so far,
okay.
Which everybody will get to see soon.
Good, good.
God willing, soon. God only knows.
Right. I mean, that's true. How are things with you and Teresa post-reunion?
We're good. We're good. We went away the day after the reunion together. We were holding hands the entire time. You know, we were emotional. We saw each other at the airport. Then next morning, we were flying to Canada. We were both teary-eyed. It was rough. That was a hard time for us. And we spent time together after that. She was very apologetic. Some people were like, oh, it's not sincere. It was sincere. I know Teresa. She was caught up in the moment that day. They showed that she did see it, the video. You know, she was picking her head up. Everybody was very out of it. It was so fast. I forgive her. I believe she was truly sorry, and we've been great.
Good.
We've been great.
Good. That's good to hear.
You know,
Well, it just, yeah, I mean, I think by the end of the reunion, she felt terrible about what she did. And like, you two have such a special bond that I'm glad to hear that you're able to go past that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what? She was sorry. I believe it. We're good. And that's what counts.
Now, Jennifer came out so hot at the reunion. What did you think about her behavior?
I think she would not let anybody get a word in edgewise. Right. I don't exactly know what she was thinking. I mean, I had to tell her to shut it about 27 times. And she obviously was not paid attention to enough as a child. I don't know what it is. She needs a lot of attention. It was, I think everybody was annoyed.
Yeah.
Everybody was annoyed by it. I would say she's like my bratty little sister. I think Jennifer is a good person. I happen to like her as a human. I think,
yeah.
But it's annoying. I'm just like, shut up. Like, shut it.
I know.
The social backlash she had from Rose. Everyone's like, Jennifer, let somebody else get a word in. She answers for everybody, including Dolores. I was like, stop it.
Right. No, I know. It is so funny because Jennifer is one of those people that even like, you know, on our podcast, we talk about it a lot, and especially her story this season with, you know, her brother and bringing, you know, that out to her mom and her daughter, Gabby, learning about his sexuality and sort of that whole journey was so incredible. And so one minute you're there and you're rooting, you know, you're rooting for Jennifer and you're like, oh my God, yes, she does have such a big heart. And then all of a sudden she'll do something that you're just like, oh my God, Jennifer, what are you doing?
Exactly. Like I said to her, read the room. And she's like, well, people roll their eyes at you. I was like, I'm not saying they don't, but I could read a room. I know when to speak and when not to speak.
Yeah. What is exactly. One thing from this past season that you are looking forward to leaving behind?
The virus we got rid of. The one virus we could get rid of. That's totally fair. That we eliminated. That's one virus that we can eliminate happily.
That was
very rough.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. You and Dorinda are friends. So what is something that you were surprised to learn about her as you guys got close?
You know, what I learned, you know, there's so many great things about Dorinda that I absolutely love. You know, I knew right from the beginning when I met her what a great person she is and everything else. But, you know, I think people think she's tougher than she is. She's more sensitive. And she is more sensitive than people realize. And I think that's what I was surprised to learn. She is sensitive.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. She's, you know, I always knew she was very caring, but she is more sensitive than people give her credit for. And even though she's a tough woman and gives that exterior, she is more sensitive than people realize. And that's actually what I really love about her. And she does make it nice and all of those things. But she is a very sensitive woman. You know, and people gave her so many hard things about her relationships and this and that. And you know, I eventually, and she's enjoying her time being alone right now, but I want her to find someone who deserves her.
I know. Me too.
She's pretty great. And she's freaking smart. Really, really smart and talented and creative. She has great facets of her life.
And she's so well dressed too. She always looks so good.
Oh, I love her style. I just love everything about her.
You're not alone in that.
I really do. Like her house, like when Joe and I were up in the Berkshires, like everything about her style is great. And that fish room, I would say in that fish room in 2 seconds. It was super cool. Anybody bitches about that fish room has no taste.
I agree. Are there any other housewives that our fans would be surprised to learn that you're very close with?
I'm trying to think who else I'm close with. Listen, Sonia and I are very close. We speak. I'm trying to think. Girls from Dallas, close with Deandra whenever she comes into town. I'm trying, you know, but mostly I'm closer with the girls on New York.
Yeah.
As opposed to anybody else across the country. I love Cynthia Bailey. You know, we'll text sometimes. You know, she sent me things, gifts. I sent her gifts. But it's kind of hard because, you know, we're all so caught up. But I feel like the housewives all have a bond across franchises in general. We're an interesting group, a family united kind. You know, I feel like we bond together whenever you see each other.
Like a sorority, like from different years
it's
in college.
Sorority.
You know?
Yes, exactly. Then you listen, some people don't get along. I have a little guilt feeling. Ramona, I did give an interview to someone and I said, you know, she was mean to fans and that hurt her. And, yeah. And she reached out and she confronted me on it. And I felt very guilty about it. I would never want to hurt Ramona. Makes her feel uncomfortable. And when she said that to me, I was like, you know what? You're right. You're a great housewife. You do, you're amazing. People love you. You're iconic. And I probably shouldn't have said that. That she told me why she doesn't like to take pictures. I was like, I didn't want to hurt her feelings. And
right.
And she's also more sensitive than I thought. And I was like, wow.
That's true. That is true. Well, I mean, she's, Roni's coming back. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Are you excited? Do you watch both of those franchises?
I watch New York religiously, and I'm excited now to watch Beverly Hills, especially that now there's a new housewife, Garcelle. I'm excited to see Housewives of Beverly Hills come back and now that Lisa Vanderpump's on it. I want to see the mix-up. And now there's just the time to watch. I mean, come on.
Right. That's true. There's a new Real Housewives of New York City housewife, Leah McSweeney. Have you met her yet?
Oh, yes. By the way, that's what I meant to say. Yes, I'm friendly with Leah. We write to each other. I love her. I met her at BravoCon originally. I think she's going to be a great addition. I love everything about her. I love her style. She's downtown, fabulous. I'm super excited. That's what I'm really excited about for New York.
Me too. I spoke to Dorinda at...
She's going to be a great mix.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's funny you had said about Dorinda, being tough on the outside maybe, but sensitive on the inside. When I spoke to Dorinda at BravoCon, I asked her about Leah, and she was like, listen, she was like, I thought I was tough. She was like, Leah, she's a badass. She's a boss bitch. And I was like, oh, shit, okay.
Yes. No, Leah is absolutely great. And I love her style. I love everything about her. And I think she's going to be a great addition. And she's different. Listen, she's not Upper East Side. She's downtown. And I think Housewives of New York needed that. And I think it's going to be fabulous.
Right. Well, Margaret, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. It was so great to catch up with you.
Oh, stay safe. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Tell Marge Senior lots of love, Marlene lots of love, Joe, everybody.
Thank you so much, and lots of love to you, and stay safe, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. All right, Margaret, talk to you soon. Bye.
Talk to you soon, Eric. Bye-bye. Love you. Bye.
Summer house.
Ooh, can you talk like that the whole time, please?
Okay, sure thing. Can you imagine?
Anything to get me through this, this trying time. My first note, Jordan is a little weasel. What's your problem, Jordan? Was exactly my note.
I know, and my first note was, what do you think Jules sees in Jordan? Because...
There's no way she actually likes him. There just is no way.
Right. I mean, we learned a lot about him last season. And even into this season, Amanda at one point was talking to Jules being like, we know he lies. We know we can't trust him. And if you're aligning yourself with him, how much can we trust you? And maybe she went a little hard on Jules. And she even reflected on that in this episode. But I'm just like, I do like Jules. And I kind of feel bad for her just because she is still on the outside of this friend group in a lot of ways, but getting involved with Jordan is not your way in. So she really needs to step back and think about what she's doing.
I just lost all respect for him for going to the other girls because it didn't work out with him and Jules. So then he goes to the other people in the house to be like, you need to be on my side. You have to choose. Right.
He sent me and Hannah a group text last night. The gist of it was like, it's Jules or me and like, pick your side.
You guys weren't even, like, that's something you do if maybe you've been in a 10-year relationship and you have to divide up friends. Not a 2-weekend fling, That's so stupid.
Of course. And for him to delete the messages that he had sent to Paige and Hannah, and then for him to even... behave in this way when you're not in the house this summer. You are a guest. You're sleeping on a couch. Like, Jules is in the house already. She's a part of this. So you can't be the one coming in as a guest being like, I need everybody to be on my side. Like, that's not how it goes.
Yeah. Crazy. I think I just was also disappointed by Hannah this entire time.
Interesting. Okay. Why?
Here's why. The way that Jordan is, not great, I feel, to women. Like, we've seen this pattern. Why does she defend him? Why does she keep bringing him back to the house? And she's like, oh, he's my weird little friend. No, it's not, this cute thing. He's not a good person.
I know. It's one of those things where I feel like Hannah sees him and knows he's strange, and he probably has a lot of trouble connecting with people. And for whatever reason, he and Hannah have connected. So she just keeps giving him other chances, but she needs to recognize that it's not working out for everybody else in the house and start to remember she needs to probably keep her relationship with him separate from her relationship with these other people. I mean, by the end of the episode, Carl wants him and Jules out of the house. So it's like,
right,
you've got to kind of pick and choose at that point. And, you know, it's going to come down to Hannah to have to make that choice.
I think the other reason I was so disappointed by her was last week, I thought it was great how she really put her foot down with Luke and was like, look, if you're sort of seeing this other girl, I'm out. I'm not going to do that to someone else. And then this week, she just completely flipped that and was like, you know what? I love a competition. So I'm going after Luke.
Right. I mean, the thing with Luke is obviously Hannah got pretty drunk that night. So she wanted to be in the hot tub with him, take a little swim. Paige kept being like, I don't know how Hannah is under this spell all of a sudden.
I don't know what spell he put over her, but she crumbles for him. And I just don't get it.
It's called alcohol. She's under the alcohol spell. And she loves tall men. She's been flirting with Luke for weeks at this point. So, of course, she's going to go after him. But I think he revealed more of his, like, fuckboy tendencies by being like, yeah, I want to make out with you, but we shouldn't. And then they make out. And then he's like, I want to take you upstairs and sleep with you, but I'm not going to because we shouldn't. And it's like, what? Come on.
I know. Like, I don't understand that. By the way, like, if you're kissing, you might as well just have sex.
That's always been my perspective on everything. Like, why?
If you're going to cheat a little, you need to cheat all the way.
Yeah, just like
you don't cheat on a diet by having a bite of cheesecake. You eat the whole freaking thing.
Exactly. Like, come on. It's called commitment, people. I do wish, you know, given by the end of the episode how Carl is trying to kick Jules and Jordan out.
What's happening is this. I don't want you in the house anymore. Don't. That's it. Period. I don't want Jordan here. It's it.
You know, Danny and I also watch a lot of Survivor. He's a big fan and he's gotten me into it this past couple of years. And I do kind of wish that that was the format of Summer House, where like every week somebody gets voted out of the Summer House until there's like one person standing at the end of the year. Like, wouldn't that be kind of fun?
I kind of love that. Also, everyone is watching Survivor during quarantine.
I predict that if it were Survivor, that Paige would make it to the very end. Like, she would be.
Ooh, why?
Because on Survivor, there's a lot of strategy, and it's in terms of like, some people are good at certain things, like the challenges they have to do, but some people really benefit from being very social and very likable and being able to work well with lots of people. And I think that's how Paige is. So, like, I think it would come down maybe to Paige and Hannah, and then there'd be this, like, big backstab moment by the end for, like, one of them to win. But also, like, someone like fucking Kyle could probably win because it's Kyle, you know? Like, he would probably savagely vote everyone out, including Amanda, to make it to the end.
Do you think I would survive?
On Summer House or Survivor?
Either.
I think you would survive on... Actually, you probably would. You would probably make it all the way through Survivor. I really actually think you could. There's a couple characters that I've met over the years that I kind of can see you in. So maybe you would make it, yeah.
Are you able to use sexual favors to get ahead and... on either show? Well, Survivor.
It's allowed. I don't know if it's encouraged, but it's allowed. There are people who have, like, married from it. There are people who have dated afterwards. There are people who have hooked up, I think, on the island. But also, like, remember, you're on the island. You can't shower. It's like, you know, you might not want to be hooking up with people while you're out there.
Right. That's just a UTI waiting to happen.
What did you think of Kyle's party?
I love the idea of a frat theme, but he... is 37.
Yeah. It's like, what are you holding on to? No, I mean, that party is my absolute worst nightmare. Like, I didn't have Greek life in college. We did not really have any fraternities at Ithaca. There was one, and it was a music fraternity. So you can imagine what those parties must have been like.
Oh my God.
But Cornell, which is like right next to us in Ithaca, did have fraternities. And the only one I went to, I think, was DBT, which was like really fun, and they always had good music, and it wasn't like your traditional sort of like bro-y fraternity. So I never really did Greek life. I never really did toga parties. And so just seeing this with like a bunch of like really grown ass people, and this was the theme, I was just sort of like, I don't know about this. And then the animals came, and I was like, I don't know. This is not. I just watched.
The animal part really bothers me.
I was like, this is uncalled for. These animals don't need to be subjected to a bunch of drunk, like, adult humans. Come on.
And also, any sort of, like, nod to bestiality, I just don't find funny.
Right. Like, don't even go there. Like, let's
don't
not
even go there,
Kyle. Just no. But we did get some very special guests at this party.
My fave, Craig. And then we had Shep and Austin from Southern Charm. But the thing is, I don't feel like we got enough of them.
I know, because typically when we get other show crossover guests like Vanderpump Rules, when they come through, they're sort of on like a full episode arc, maybe bleeding into a second episode. Last season, I think Stassi, what was it, Katie and Schwartz came. But yeah, definitely not enough of our boys. And I definitely wanted more. And I did want more flirtation with Austin and Hannah. And I was sad that it was interrupted by Luke.
Right. Not cool.
There could have been something really special there. I think like a solid makeout session. But also then I was like, where was Austin with Madison at this point? Like, obviously Austin and Madison's timeline is very blurry and has been blurry for a long time. But I was sort of like, is Madison back in Charleston being like, what you doing up there, Austin? And he's over there. You know, I don't know. I don't know, but whatever. Nothing happened, so it's fine.
Oh, who do you think would win in a fight, Madison or Hannah?
Madison.
Yeah, because it doesn't even matter like about athletic abilities or anything. It's just the amount of fire inside. And I think Madison has that.
For sure. Absolutely. No doubt. I also spoke with Real Housewives of Atlanta's Tanya Sam, and during the interview, she shares which RHOA ladies she's been video chatting with during quarantine. She also talks about what she's most excited to discuss when the reunion rolls around, and she reveals which wife she would trade closets with and why. Plus, Tanya tells us her top 5 tips for visiting Toronto. You'll want to write those down for when we're able to travel again. Let's take a listen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Real Housewives of Atlanta's Tanya Sam. Hello, Tanya.
Hi. Hi, guys.
I'm so excited to talk to you because you are such a positive energy, such a ray of light, and it's just like these times need your vibes. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. I appreciate that. Thanks.
So how are you and Paul, which, by the way, you can't see me, but I'm doing the Portia impression from the after show with the tongue.
Oh, Paul. My mouth, Paul.
So how are you and Paul doing during the whole social distancing quarantine situation?
We're still doing this sort of self-imposed 14-day quarantine because we traveled overseas.
Uh-huh.
So far, so great. We're healthy. And we've just been locked inside the house for the past couple of days. And it's cool. Like, we just kind of rotate from room to room. We're able to sort of work and still move through our businesses over Zoom meetings or our laptops and stuff. So far, so good. I've never cooked so much in my life, I will say. That's kind of the biggest change, cooking and cleaning nonstop. Shout out to all the moms who have other mouths to feed and cook and clean after 24/7 and are homeschooling, because I feel like you guys are just kings and queens right now, having to have and just go through all that in a house confined.
I know, absolutely. It's totally crazy. Now, have you been using the hibachi room at all?
Oh my gosh, we have not hibachi. Last night we made dinner, and we kind of rotate like, where should we eat dinner? And so it was funny, it just occurred to us, oh my gosh, we should have a hibachi night. So maybe, I don't know, today, tomorrow, but we definitely put it on the agenda. It feels so indulgent, you know, firing up a hibachi grill for two of us. We usually do it when we have people over. It's really fun after drunk nights out when you come home and make breakfast for like, you know, a bunch of people at 2:00 in the morning, or have the hibachi guys can do that. But
right,
we've got to entertain ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, have you been FaceTiming with any of the other ladies from Atlanta? Like, how is everybody else doing?
They're good. You know, Nene, Portia, and I FaceTimed a couple times. Portia and I have been FaceTiming. We've been going back and forth. Marlo's, I've been chatting with her. You know, we kind of all chat on text. Either we have a thread that occasionally pops up with all the girls on it. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of reach out to each other individually. So Cynthia text messaged me the other day, and we have the group chat where people will put, you know, little kind of Amber Alert messages like, guys, read this article.
Yeah.
Fans, all the ladies.
Right. Okay. That's good. I mean, yeah, there's really nothing else to do right now but kind of communicate with each other via text and FaceTime, you know?
Yeah. And there's a couple good apps. My family's been using this app called House Party, which is really funny because, you know, my dad's like 80. So I'm trying to give him the easiest ways to communicate so that, you know, when you FaceTime your parents and they're like looking at their nose all day and they're like, Dad,
yeah.
Put the phone in front of your face to try and just mitigate those views. So it's been, you know, you do what you do and you just reach out and check on people.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, we found out that the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion has been postponed, which obviously, like,
I know!
Oh my God, like, fans are like, no, not this season. Like, come on. So, I mean, thinking ahead, once that gets scheduled and is picked back up and all of that, what are you most looking forward to sort of clearing up at the reunion?
Ooh, so good question. I feel like we were all on pace to just get a lot of stuff off our chest. And, you know, this last episode that you just saw, we finished the ruins party. And then that was really big for us because I think a lot of stuff started to bubble up. You saw, like, Marlo was trying to talk to Kenya about her issue with her business party. And, you know, Kenya's response was like, certain things are off limits. And she made reference to kids and her husband. And, you know, that kind of made me raise my eyebrow and want to chime in. And Marlo's like, wait.
Right.
Because I was like, well, wait a second. You know, do the rules work both ways here? If that's something that's considered off limits for you, is it off limits for others? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure that, like, everyone's asking. That's no big surprise. I'm sure that will come up again. And I mean, we just had a lot of stuff happen in this season that, you know, that's what reunion's for. Talking it out and putting it all on the table very, very transparently.
Absolutely. Now, looking back at the season, what was the most surprising drama for you?
I mean, my own, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, it's really interesting because until it happens, you could never predict this, right? You know, I showed up and I was like, ta-da, a wig, thinking like, this is, you know, this. I thought personally, for me, it was like, oh, this is fine. This is like funny. And, you know, at first when that happened, people were like, Tanya, a wig, really, girl? Like, if you're going to survive on this show with this group of girls, like, you got to come with. And I was like, but I wasn't trying to destroy anyone. I just thought this was like funny. That was like my kind of quirky sense of humor. And then, you know, to see it snowball to something so much bigger, you're like, oh, okay. So I guess that was, for me, like the biggest.
Right. Yeah.
Surprise.
Biggest surprise.
To be involved in. Yeah.
Now, thinking of Paul, how has it been for him to watch everything back and sort of see how things unfold on the show?
Ooh, from Paul's perspective, I mean, Paul and I, like, our personalities match perfectly because we're a bit of yin and yang. Like, I'm much more upbeat extrovert and he's like an introvert. He's more of a soldier army person. So he sees stuff like that and he's like, go for the jugular. And I'm like, what? I didn't even realize I was making the jab. So, you know, he's good because he gives me a strong sense of assertiveness and a backbone. So I really appreciate him for that. And he's just like one of those people that is like, girl, I got your back. What you got to do? Like, nobody puts baby in the corner.
Well, and it seems like, too, he stepped back a little bit while a lot of the drama was playing out, just sort of being like, you know, I felt like maybe he was like, I don't want to be a part of this because it just seems too negative, especially given that his name was kind of being dragged through the mud at a certain point.
You know what? For me, I think that was a lot of me, because I was like, oh, no, what you're not going to do is bring my fiance into this, who, you know, is like, has this good upstanding name and try and smear it. So I was like, okay, you don't need to be a part of this. Like, you don't need to go come and support a charity thing. Like, if that's the way people are going to do and act, I was like, yeah, stand down. Like, And, you know, I think, you know, there were references made to this is like ladies' drama, don't get involved. And I was just like, no, it's not even that you don't need to get involved. It's just that if that's how people are going to conduct themselves, then you don't need to come and, you know, try and support something where you're actually asking for men to come and stand up and uphold. But at the same time, you're like, hey, two minutes before, I was just trying to be like, oh, well, this is the tea, right? It just right. didn't feel like a good mix to be involved in.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, we almost met a new character this season. So how would you describe the differences between Ken and Kenya?
Good question. So, you know, I only really got to interact with Kenya and Mark at the charity event. And I feel like that's when, you know, the ladies tell me Ken really comes out. But definitely I feel, you know, at the charity event, I'll speak for like my specific interactions, for example, you know, where she was like, can you move somewhere else? Can you not sit here? You know, so I was still getting a bit of Kenya there. I didn't get to see Kenya yeah. so much.
Right. It's a fine line, I think. But like when you see the switch, especially watching it back, I think you can see the switch because there is a noticeable difference. Yeah. In the way, you know, yeah. Kenya behaves. Now, it's interesting yeah. because you and Kenya, at a certain point this season, were kind of bonding when you were discussing the IVF situation. So where are you in that journey? Do you have more plans to start a family?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the way we had sort of mapped out our year, we had these two trips. I went to Trinidad Carnival, and then we were going to South Africa for Paul's birthday, and now Corona's hit. And so all yeah. essential services are essentially shut down. So it's so funny. I was talking to my doctor the other day, and he was like, well, now's the time. I was like, listen, we are like rabbits over here. Obviously, like we need a little bit of a natural miracle to happen, which I always pray for. But at the same time, I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to get back on this because it actually becomes a little bit harder because even doing retrievals and stuff or mm-hmm. putting an embryo back in is on hiatus right now. You know, and I mean, I understand that completely because we need all the healthcare services we can. So I just have to kind of wait and see because this is throwing a wrench in my plans right now.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, as soon as things kind of get back to normal, the process will begin again. And that's sort of what you're working towards. So, I mean, that's great to hear.
Yeah. No, it is great. And I love when people ask about that because it's just, you know, it's something that I'm happy to share and talk about. And, you know, I've like actually been able to talk about it on the show and like have made such amazing connections through social media and just different people who reach out and share their stories. So I kind of love that. I love that about the show and just your social media family that you grow from this.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Portia and Dennis, because that's been another huge storyline this season. So how have you sort of seen their relationship evolve since their struggles kind of at the beginning of the season and then Dennis's reproposal in Toronto?
Listen, I am an advocate for families and relationships, and I know they're not easy. You know, the older you get, you know, personalities get stronger and stronger. So I just wanted to be the person in their corner that was like, fight for it. Fight for it, fight for it. The same way I'm like a tiger fighting for my relationship when people try to say things, I encourage like other people to do it. And it's not easy. And, yeah. you know, obviously Dennis did some crazy stuff that is, you know, not acceptable, but I just was like, guys, keep fighting. So, you know, no matter what the outcome is, you know, you could give it your all. And I just, you know, part of that with the Toronto reproposal, I was like, put that ring back on and see what you can give it. And then we go from there. So I've just continued to try to advocate for them. And I, to be honest, I really like spending time with Dennis and Portia. I like them together.
Yeah.
You know, so they're fun and there's a love there. So
did you see their flip the switch challenge that they posted last week?
See what I'm talking about? Like that stuff is so great. We're stuck in the house together with your, you know, your spouse or your partner. And it's like how you can make the best of it. And I loved that. I thought that was right. hilarious. Like yeah. Dennis in a pink latex dress. Yeah.
Right. We need more of that.
That is hilarious.
Another relationship that we've seen, you know, change a lot over the years, and particularly in the last couple of seasons, is Nene and Greg and just the hardships that they've been through. So what has it been like to be their for Nene as a support system, and how are they doing today?
Oh, you know, Nene and I get to talk on the phone a lot. I haven't got to spend a lot of time with them just because we've both been traveling a lot. And, you know, from what I hear, they're doing well. Like, this is crazy times. We're all locked up in the house together, and they're just managing and negotiating just like all of us.
Yeah, that's all you can do, right?
Yeah, no, you can't. And, you know, that's such a wonderful thing. When, you know, I'm actually kind of grateful to be locked up with Paul, because there's not a lot of people that you want to be locked. It's like locked up in a house for weeks and weeks and weeks. So I kind of have to like pinch myself and be like, phew, okay, this is good.
Right. So thinking back to, particularly to the Destin trip a while back, you and Marlo have always had this sort of playful rivalry in terms of like who is more stylish. So what do you think of Marlo's style, and how would you describe your style and the differences there?
Okay, so back to Destin. Obviously, like, look, I tell you guys, if there is a competition, I want to win it. Like, same thing when we played competitive games in Greece. Like, yeah. I just want to win. Who cares who my opponent or, you know, partner is? So from back in the Destin days, I was just like, let me get this crown. And one thing I've always said about Marlo is like, we have very, very different style and fashion looks. But I completely, like, I like the way Marlo dresses. Half the stuff I probably couldn't pull off, and she would say the same about me. So I think it's absolutely a friendly, it's not even a rivalry to me. And maybe Marlo would say something different. I just, like, admire it. I admire it. Like,
yeah,
it's like a good hobby for both of us.
So how would you describe your style? Like, what is your inspiration? Where does it come from?
Okay, so this is not going to be the best answer, because I think like some stylists or like true fashionistas would be like, my style comes from this, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know. I just like to get up in the morning. I go into my closet and it's kind of fun. It's like a little hobby. So I wish I had a much more articulate answer for that. But I just like clothes. It's like the little girl in you playing dress up when you're, you know, 41.
Right. Now, if you had to trade closets with another Atlanta housewife, who would it be?
Oh, absolutely Marlo. We have right? a lot of the same pieces. Like, yeah, I would absolutely trade with Marlo.
And we've learned, do not go into Nene's closet.
Right. So maybe if this was a pre-agreed upon trade.
Right.
But yeah, I would start with Marlo's closet. Yeah.
So I personally have been dying to get to Toronto. So I was hoping that maybe you could give us like Tanya's top 5 tips for visiting Toronto.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, first of all, after we took the girls to Toronto, so many people had messaged me being like, I want to come to Toronto. I want to come to Toronto. Or got a good sense of, they're like, oh, I get it. I want to visit Canada. You're such a Canadian. So I love that people got to kind of see a little bit of my hometown. And so I was planning on taking a whole group of people back for Toronto with Tanya and doing Carnival over again with like fans and just people who love soca music. And Corona has kind of kiboshed that again.
Right.
But I would say my number one tip is to go during Carnival, because it's such a great experience and it's so much fun. And it's also in the summer, which is one of our warmer months.
Yeah.
My second tip would be, if you like snow and you like freezing cold weather, then absolutely go in the winter, but be very cognizant of the time you want to go. Third tip for Toronto, do the CN Tower. You know, sometimes people travel all over and like, I love to travel, but do your research and find the great wonders and attractions of every city and take part in them. CN Tower is a great example. About an hour and a half outside of Toronto was also Niagara Falls, which is truly one of the biggest waterfalls and wonders of the world. Like,
yeah.
Take a day trip out there, and there's some really good Ontario wineries on the way. So maybe you get a driver to go out and you just drink along the way till you get to the waterfall. Super fun.
Oh, I like that.
And,
I like that.
Yes, it's so good. And I will say our like nightclub and party scene is really, really fun. So there's great bars. Atlanta sort of used to have this strip before I got here. We have like a nightclub strip of like bars and nightclubs where you can just like walk through the streets and like party hop. Love that. Mm-hmm. And food. Like last but not least, like the restaurants there are incredible. We have such an incredible international offering of food, from like West Indian food to Indian food to Greek food, Italian. And we have all these little areas like Little Italy, Little Greece, Little China, where you could just gorge yourself on delicious food all day long.
Oh my God, that sounds so amazing. I mean, I'm thinking like maybe I should look at some flights because things are really cheap right now. Like, let me just book a round trip to Toronto. I mean, it's just like, I feel like when this is over, there's going to be such a boom in travel because people are going to be like, I cannot wait.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, really, I think it's going to be incredible. People are just going to be so stir crazy. They're like, where can I go?
Right. Totally. Well, Tanya, thank you so much for calling in. I so appreciate it. You're so fun to talk to. You're such a good energy. And I can't wait to see what the rest of the season unfolds to be. And I can't wait to see the reunion once that gets rescheduled. I have a prediction.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a prediction. It's going to be Greek goddess themed after, you know, Greece. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, my biggest worry is that after all this time in the house, eating and stuffing my face, I'm not going to be able to fit my reunion dress. This is my biggest worry right now.
So, do you have your reunion dress already picked?
Of course. Okay. Of course. We were all ready to go. So
right.
Now I'm like, oh my gosh, please. Like, I'm going to burst the seams of it.
Right. Well, Tanya, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, and stay safe. Guys, tune into the podcast, because what else do you have to do? We're stuck in the house.
Exactly. Thanks, Tanya.
Bye-bye.
Family Karma?
Yes.
First off, I suspect that Amrit did more than just make out with Dylan, who we meet at this episode, the sort of other gay in their community. I just have a feeling more happened there than he's willing to talk about.
What do you mean?
Like, when I was in high school and there was like one other like gay person in my friend group. So of course we ended up being the ones to like hook up and like date, because like we didn't have anyone else to date at the time. So I just feel like there was probably more than just making out that happened, but Amri didn't want it. Because also in the same, you know, he knew that Nicholas's boyfriend was coming in the next couple of days, so he probably didn't want to, like, say too much at the time.
That's true. I do think it is hilarious that Amri, when he came out, was like, so, Vishal, do you have anything you need to tell me?
And he was like, nope.
Vishal, I'm straight. He's like, oh, cool.
He's like, okay, you just let me know if you have anything. Yeah. You need to
say. We were both drunk and he came out to me and then he was like, what about you? I was like, no, I'm straight.
I mean, you know, Vishal is kind of a tricky character to figure out. I know that you met him in real life, so I'm interested to hear your take on what it was like to actually meet him. But it's just I don't know, the way he hates confrontation, and I know he has health issues, so it's one of the reasons he tries to keep his stress down. So, you know, confrontation and all of that is not good for him, but life is full of confrontation, and not always in this big, you know, explosive manner, but just like small things throughout the day. It seems like he's not managing that very well. So I don't know. He's very tricky to figure out.
Well, he's also just someone I could never be friends with. He's very nice, but I just would not be able to deal with someone who can't handle confrontation because of their illness. And I get that that's a legitimate thing. I just can't deal with it. I can't let you get a pass. You know what I mean? We're right. Going to talk about every single issue.
Right. Well, and obviously the situation between him and Anisha, and then Bali is involved and Amrit is involved. And it's just sort of gotten to a point where Vishal should be the one to sort of take control, you know, reach out to Anisha, have the conversation as difficult as it may be, because if you are close friends, and if that's something you're not going to deny, then the two of you should be able to work out whatever it is that's wrong between you two. But he just like doesn't seem to, I don't know, he doesn't seem to have the balls to want to do these things, even the way he called last week and asked for permission to have an engagement party to his fiance. He was just sort of like showed up with his tail between his legs on FaceTime being like, is this okay? Is this allowed? Like, you have to go after what you want and really take control. But I feel like he's not doing that. He's being a little bit more dismissive. And it's just, I don't know. I don't really like that quality in someone.
It's not okay. The whole maybe Anisha has a crush on Vishal. Get out of here.
Well, I think that's a reach. And it's also a little bit sexist to be like, well, she's a girl and she must have a crush on her one, you know, guy friend. It's sort of like, no, I mean, the same could be maybe said about Vishal having a crush on Amrit. Like, we could make that assumption if we want, you know, like, who knows? It just seems weird to make that assumption. And it seems like that's not the case at all with Anisha. But I also felt Anisha sort of took it to the extreme too by saying she didn't want to go to the party because she felt like she didn't want to be around toxic people. I don't know if they're necessarily toxic people. That might be a little extreme, but I understand maybe not wanting to get caught up in the drama at such a celebratory event, you know?
Brian and Monica just broke my heart this episode.
Do you agree that someone's always going to be there?
I feel like I'm always going to care about you.
So what, are you saying there's no shot? Even after all this, you're like, there's no shot at all?
I don't know, Brian. I'm just saying that right now for me, I see you as a friend and to...
I get it. No, I get it.
To jeopardize a friendship of 15 years, like, I just don't want to make it weird.
I really like the two of them together. They have obvious chemistry and they're both so cute. Like, what is it?
It's very like Ross and Rachel.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when he wanted her, she didn't want him. And then when she wanted him, he didn't want her. They need to get on the same page.
I know. And like, how do they do that? Because it is tricky when you have been friends with somebody for so long and you try to switch that over to a romantic relationship. I mean, think of Summer House. We saw it with Lindsay and Carl, which was a friggin' disaster this season.
Right.
And not to compare them to Lindsay and Carl, because they're totally not at all like them. But yeah, I mean, it's true. Brian was kind of a party guy. So when she first went to him to be like, I have feelings, he admits he did have feelings and wasn't really ready to deal with them. And now that he is ready to sort of take that leap of faith, she's a little bit more reserved and kind of worried about where that would lead them. So I don't know. I think it's a very good comparison to say Ross and Rachel, because it does feel like everyone is rooting for them, but they're just having trouble making it work.
I just feel like even though it would be difficult to transition from a really good friendship to, I don't know, lovers, doesn't mean that two people shouldn't try, if you know what I'm saying, Eric.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down. And I think our listeners are too. Well, we also have a lunch where finally everybody, including Bali, have this conversation that's needed to happen. Vishal, Anisha, Amrit, Bali. I just have to say too, I just absolutely love Bali. Like, she is destined to be a housewife. Like, if she could transcend from this franchise to, like, a Housewives of Miami reboot, I would just be so thrilled. But I just adore her. But at least this conversation finally happens, but it seems like it doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think of Nicholas when we finally met him?
I don't know. Fine. Didn't leave an impression.
I thought Nicholas was really cute. And I love that, you know, given how traditional the families are on this show, that Amrit's family has let those walls down and welcomed Nicholas into their home. And the relationship that Nicholas seems to have with his mom is really cute. And the dog was like so excited to see him. So I'm happy to finally meet him, because I do think you learn more about a person when you meet their significant other. So
that's true.
I'm happy to see another side of Amrit. And I don't know, some of his interviews seemed a little bit like the producers are like, do you have a deep-rooted love for Nicholas? And he's like, I love Nicholas.
If you really want the marriage that lasts a lifetime, it's this more deep-rooted love for the other person.
And you have that deep-rooted love for Nicholas?
Of course I love Nicholas.
And there was a little bit of something going on there, so I want to see how their relationship plays out the rest of the season. And I have been doing a little Instagram stalking to try to see, like, are they still together? What has Amrit been posting? And there's not a whole lot to work with. So that might just be, you know, they want to have people tune in as opposed to get their updates on social media. But I want to see what happens this season. Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Oh, my rose was for everyone who tuned in to our Instagram Live we did on Friday.
Oh, yes. That was really fun. So we did an Instagram Live from the Bravo Daily Dish handle, and we just like caught up for a little bit, talked about some news of the week, all that good stuff. That was really fun.
Yeah. And we challenged everyone to watch Gallery Girls with us because full episodes are available on the Bravo app.
And neither one of us have actually watched that show, so it'll be a fresh watch for both of us. So if you guys want to tune in along with us, we'll probably do another Instagram Live later this week. I still have to watch the episodes, so I need a little bit more time. But yeah, it's such a fan favorite, and I feel like I hear people talk about it all the time. I think Danny Pellegrino from the Everything Iconic podcast is also obsessed. So I can't wait to experience a new Bravo show like I never have before.
Yes. What was your rose?
My rose was from Shaws of Sunset, and it is the Vida-themed retirement party that MJ threw for her mom.
Oh, so good.
Like, I love the theme, and I wish I could have attended because I would have loved to wear a statement necklace, red lips, blonde wig, and like a nice little blazer. Like, that is just like, if I were an old lady, that would be my look. Like, I know that for sure.
I also just love anytime Mike in his Vida makeup, like heavy theater makeup, screaming at Destiny. Just amazing.
Right. I was a little freaked out, similar to what happened on Vanderpump Rules this season with the old people makeup, like the little like gobble wobble that they gave me. All of those things kind of freak me out, like old prosthetics, but I do love a good wig party. So there's that. What was your thorn?
I think my thorn is probably from Shaw's, and it has to do with Destiny just really not being completely honest about what's happening in terms of like the whole Allie, Reza, MJ drama.
Yeah.
Like, it came out that she basically had sort of rehearsed with Allie this sit down of like, oh, what information do you have about Adam? And I hate that. I don't like that.
More was revealed in this episode than I think we had realized before. And there has been a lot of confusion over Destiny's participation in this whole thing.
Let me trace the Destiny logic in this. I met with Allie. We discussed that this was going to go down, but he did it at an inconvenient time for me. I am the victim.
And I think Sarah even says it in one of her interviews. She's like, I still don't really understand what happened because Destiny is just like talking in circles and rambling on. But yeah, I mean, I think there was some shady behavior happening, and maybe Destiny doesn't even realize that her behavior was shady, which could be the bigger problem. My thorn comes from Summer House, and it is when Kyle pees in a cup with Amanda's help. And I'm just like, you live in this house. Go find one of the many bathrooms that are inside. You don't need to pee in a cup. Like, come on. I think he didn't want to have to remove the toga. You know how when, like, you wear a romper, like, ladies wear a romper, and you have to take the whole thing off to pee?
I mean, you just have to lift it up? It's a dress.
Well, I think if it's one of the shorts ones, like a short, you know, like a romper that has shorts.
No, I know what a romper is. I'm saying a toga. Isn't it a dress?
Well, that's what I would think, but I think his had shorts in them or something. I don't know. It was very strange.
Weird. Anyway, no excuse to pee in a cup.
No excuse to pee in a cup because it did start to overflow. That's the risk that you take.
Next week, we have interviews with Portia Williams from Real Housewives of Atlanta and Tinsley Mortimer from Real Housewives of New York City.
Tons lap. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.